we've changed the way we travel. When we first started out, we'd spend a night or two nights in the city and then pack up and move on. And we found that that was really hard to do because you really don't get immersed in a place. And, you know, you're there, you sleep overnight, you find a restaurant that's close by see some of the highlights, and then you're off to the next city. But more recently, we've taken to spending longer, like, you know, 4 to 5 days in a city before we'll move on.
Yeah.
And we find that it's a lot more rewarding. Mm-hmm. You can get deeper into it and enjoy the place and meet people.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Are you ready for retirement? You may think you are, but have you put any thought into what you're actually going to get up to in retirement? My guests today, Larry and Rita Borden, have found purpose in their retirement. However, when Larry retired first, he was at a bit of a loose end and he had to go back to work for something to do to keep busy. When he finally retired for good at the age of 70 and his wife joined him, they were a bit better organized this second time around. They have found that by keeping fit and healthy, they are able to indulge their passion for travel and are having many wonderful adventures together, which they are sharing in their blog posts. Larry and Rita are living proof that you can travel at any age. So come and have a listen to their story. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. And today my guests on the show are Larry and Rita Borden. Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're great.
Great.
How are you?
Fantastic. We just had rain, so we're all very happy.
Okay. Oh, that's great. We might get that tomorrow. Today it's sunny. It's like 70 degrees. Beautiful.
So I live in the east coast of Australia, up in the north in the tropics. So we have quite a hot summer, and then we're going into our summer. So where do you live?
Well, we have a rather hot summer here. And then it's probably, it feels cold to us, but it's probably a mild winter.
But we're in the southwest of the United States, in Arizona, right outside of the capital, Phoenix, in Glendale.
Right. I've heard a lot of retirees go down that way. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep, we do see.
A lot of retirees and a lot of snowbirds. They have come from the northeast in droves. So we see them January, February, March. But they start coming now in December. So we've had quite a few come already.
So in Australia, we call them grey nomads. Yes, they come from the southern states because we're the opposite to you. It's colder in the south and warmer in our north, the closer you get to the equator. Yeah.
Everything's opposite.
Uh-huh.
So how long have you been retired? And I believe you want to talk about traveling and what you've been getting up to in retirement. So before we start that, could you give us a bit of a background on what you did beforehand and how you've been planning for your retirement?
I was an engineer in the computer industry for a number of years. And then I got out of that. I was into teaching at it would be equivalent of a high school, but it was, actually it was adult education. And so I did that for a few years before retirement.
Right. And did you have a plan for your retirement?
Well, unfortunately, I was lackadaisical in it. No. It was insufficient. Right? My wife did a much better job of planning for retirement than I did.
We find retirement's more than just the money side of things. It's about what you're going to get up to in retirement. So you've ended up working out something to do to fill your retirement days?
Yeah, well, in the past, I did tax returns as a volunteer, doing them for AARP, which is a retirement thing. And we try to travel as much as we can. So, yeah.
And so now he started writing about it. So he started a blog about all of the travels, which has really been a lot of fun for us because you remember so many little details and so many things about the places we've been. And we've gotten some good feedback that people appreciate our learning from our experience.
So would you like to talk about that? How far in advance do you plan your trips and do you have a budget for your travel?
I guess for the most part, we try and set loose plans each year. And we try and take currently about one major trip a year and then a bunch of short ones. And the major one we'll probably start about 6 months ahead of time. And then start figuring out where we want to go, how we want to get there, where we want to stay, and, you know, how we're going to get around, and, you know, those types of things.
When we first retired and we were a little younger, do you know how old Larry is? Did he tell you?
No.
Should I tell you? Larry's 84 now, going to be 85 this next year. Yeah. And yeah, and I'm not too far behind him. So Right. We feel like we're in pretty good shape. And a long time ago, he was 60, I think, or 65. We decided if we were going to travel, we had to do it while we were really fit and able to go and do things. So we did a marathon in 2001, the Dublin Marathon. And that's probably the most strenuous thing we've done.
Oh, yeah.
But we've done a lot of fun, exciting, vigorous things. Yeah. We saw people on a cruise ship that were using walkers and decided, we don't want to do that. We need to get out there and go before we're like that. So
yeah. I saw a picture of two elderly travelers in a gondola in Italy, and they were both sound asleep.
Right.
I can see that.
Do you go on organized tours or do you do your own trip planning and go your own way?
We've done both. We have done
Turn on another life.
Yeah, some organized tours, but mostly we do go on our own. And that lamp in the other room.
Yeah, I'll get another drink. Okay.
But yeah, so for instance, one time we went to Prague, Vienna, and Budapest, and it was kind of a partial tour. It really wasn't a tour. They provided transportation, and we had to figure out what to do once we got there. So they provided hotels and airfare and also the train tickets in between cities. And then we figure out our own itinerary once we were there.
Who was that through?
That was Great Value Locations, I think.
Something
it was.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was Great Value. And then, but usually we go on our own. So a couple of years ago, we went to Ireland and Northern Ireland. We did that entirely on our own. Mm-hmm. And we didn't rent a car for the first time. We just took local transportation. Buses, trains, and we found that was quite relaxing not having to drive. Especially on, we drive on the other side of the road than they do in Ireland.
And how this works is Larry will see a deal. So right. He'll find a great airfare or a great cruise fare or a great idea. and then we'll work around that.
Well, that's a great way to do it, I believe. I know someone that does budget traveling in Asia, and that's what he bases his trips on, the great deal on airfares. And he works like up to a year in advance. He gets the great airfares, and then he works the rest out after that too. So it is a good plan if you're not, I suppose, with the two of you too, when you're not afraid to travel and experience things, and you don't need to be in a group. Some people are just not as adventurous, I suppose.
They even say single people have a better time on trips because they meet more people, and that is good for them. You know, it's exciting for them.
I suppose doing it your way, you've got an opportunity to maybe meet the locals more, do you think?
Yes, I think that's right. And we're both pretty fascinated in the politics and the economy, the governments, how people really live in some countries. And doing some writing now, we took two grandsons to Korea when my son was stationed there. And there was a lot of tension between the United States and South Korea at the time. And the South Korean people were very wonderful, generous. I had no idea. You know, I was so glad we had gone when we did. And we've researched a lot, Cambodia, Thailand, Korea, Cuba. I wish we had done all the research before we got there. But it's been very good. And it's been good to meet the people there.
Right, it is.
All right. And do you pre-plan everything, or just some things left till you get there? Like accommodation, your transportation, mm-hmm. your itineraries?
Last time we went to Ireland, we kind of left it up to, we didn't know where we were going to go from Dublin. And then we decided to go to Cork, which was awesome, you know. So right. So it was just, you know, we had been to the north. Well, we hadn't ever been to Glasgow, not Belfast. So Belfast. We went to Belfast. That was good too.
Right.
So do you book your accommodation online once you know where you're going to next?
I guess, most times we do. We book the, we'll try and, you know, find suitable accommodations online. And it depends on the time of the year. If we're going off season, it's probably not as necessary to book them ahead of time. Go and find bed and breakfast, you know, in most places. So
probably a lot less stress that you don't have to worry about finding a place, finding the place.
If we pre-book it, right?
Yeah. I suppose there's a chance when you pre-book, you're not sure how far away it is from where you want to be.
Right.
That's a problem.
One time we spent a whole month in the Iberian Peninsula. So we started out in Madrid and we went all around Spain, Portugal, back to Madrid. Anyway, I was on one computer on Expedia and he was on the other computer on TripAdvisor.
trying to
find the best place, the best price.
Right.
Yeah, but we had that all booked out pretty nicely. It was a great trip.
Yeah, it was.
It's always better when you can share the experience, I suppose, and you're very lucky that you still have each other to enjoy these experiences together. So what else would you like to share about how you go about planning your travel? Do you ever stay very long in one place? I hear some people are taking advantage of the off-season and basing themselves long stay in one place and then just exploring around there.
You know, we have thought about that because it really seems to be a better way. Just immerse yourself in a place.
Yeah. We've changed the way we travel. When we first started out, we'd spend a night or two nights in the city and then pack up and move on. And we found that was really hard to do because you really don't get immersed in a place. And, you know, you're there, you sleep overnight, you find a restaurant that's close by see some of the highlights, and then you're off to the next city. But more recently, we've taken to spending longer, like, you know, 4 to 5 days in the city before we'll move on.
Yeah.
And we find that it's a lot more rewarding. Mm-hmm. You can get deeper into it and enjoy the place and meet people.
Yes, definitely. Immersion is a word I've heard recently talking to a lady that does immersion language trips. She takes people to a city and they all, or it doesn't have to be a city because we're talking about a language. So they go to a country, to a place, and then they all stay in the one hotel or house and they have to speak, they have to use the language of that country. And she said they learn the language a lot quicker that way. So she's calling it language immersion holidays.
That's awesome, really.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. They say if you stay in a country for 2 months and immerse yourself in it, that you could speak the language in 2 months. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to pick up a few phrases before we go so we don't have to completely blunder our way through. So, we want to be polite.
I believe there's translation apps now you can have on your phone. Have you ever used them?
I've seen them. They look fantastic. But when you're in the spot, it's kind of hard to do. We haven't tried it yet, no.
Okay. So what sort of adventure have you had?
Oh, I think the best adventure we had was when we went to South America with two other couples. So the six of us go off to South America. And the day we were supposed to go into Santiago, our cruise was to start from Santiago. They stopped us in Buenos Aires. There'd been a 9-point-something-or-other earthquake in Chile. It was the biggest earthquake ever.
And then, so the airport was basically closed. But the ship, we contacted the ship, and they were going to, they said, it's your business to get here. You know, we're scheduled to sail, whatever happens.
Well, they were going to leave, they were going to delay 3 or 4 days, but we had to find our way to Santiago from Buenos Aires, which is over the Andes. And they weren't flying at all. So we took a bus and we ended up in a van. We went to Mendoza in the bus, beautiful buses that they have in South America. So we took the bus, and then we took a van with some Red Cross emergency workers over the Andes into Santiago. So I think that was a bit of an adventure. And we got there, and they put us in a hotel because the cruise ship had just cruised away. And so the cruise ship was going to return in a couple days to pick us all up. And but that was kind of an adventure. Some people were there because they had gotten off the cruise ship, and now they couldn't find a plane to take them home. Other people were there because they never got on board, and they were mad. So,
right. And then some people never left the ship.
The cruise ship said, "We don't have all your cabins." So it was quite an adventure.
That was right. That was.
It sounds like you've created an interesting life for yourselves in retirement.
It's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We have some great grandkids, too, so they keep us very busy.
Yeah.
Have you had any trouble getting travel insurance at your age?
Okay, we usually do get travel insurance, at least for medical, because our Medicare that we get, the insurance doesn't cover us when we're out of the country. So we do get medical insurance, and usually comes with evacuation insurance and lost luggage and interrupted flights, things like that. So we do get insurance.
Okay, so do you think that's because you are fit and well? Because sometimes the age is a problem for some people.
Oh, we haven't run into that yet. We haven't ever declined us.
Yeah. Well, the rate, I noticed the rate goes up as you get older.
They get you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you mentioned that you go on a lot of short trips as well. So is that within your own country?
Yes. We're not too far from Mexico. So we have, right after the first of the year, we have a week trip down to Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco,
which is in Mexico.
Uh-huh. And then we have, so we like to go there at least once every year or two. And then we have, my brother lives in Hilton Head. We visit there, which is South Carolina. And we have another trip to San Francisco coming up soon. So,
yep. So we have some plans in place for next year.
Mm-hmm. Are you working on a bucket list, or how do you work out where your next trip's going to be?
Well, I get all these emails with all kinds of different trips and offers. And if I see something that's interesting, I mention it to Rita, and if she thinks it's interesting, then we start looking into it.
We haven't been to India, and we haven't been to Africa. Those are, and we have a daughter who lives in India.
Oh, so, you've got no excuse.
We've been reluctant to go there and reluctant to go to Africa, but now we have friends in Africa. So it's kind of like those two are on our list. We just haven't made the commitment yet.
Right.
I suppose that there's always some concerns for some countries about just safety, or even perhaps the conditions for medical reasons, I suppose.
Well, I've noticed with the safety concern, like when our country, when they issue a travel warning, it's typically for the whole country, but individual states or cities within the country themselves, if you look at it, they're generally safe. And sometimes we actually feel safer when we're in a foreign country than in our own country, to tell you the truth.
Right. So how do you travel? Are you traveling light? Because you're saying you're catching lots of buses yourself, so I imagine you're not lugging around a big suitcase.
Oh, no.
We try not to do that, yeah.
Yeah. We usually take one medium-sized or a small suitcase each. When we first started traveling, we packed big bags. They were hard to carry and hard to travel with. They wouldn't even fit in rental cars.
Yeah.
But we don't do that anymore. We found it's much easier to travel with far less clothing.
Yes.
And we rinse it out in the hotel and in the bathroom sink at night. And we find out that works pretty good.
Yeah.
And if necessary, we'll go to a laundromat.
Yeah.
Get our clothes washed. But now we try to travel as light as we can. It's less of a hassle.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It sounds like a good way to go when you're confident, I suppose, because I've done a bit of what you're talking about too. You get your airfares, and then once you get there, you just figure it out yourself, and catching local transport is it's interesting. And it's a different way. I think they call people like you and me flash packers. Have you heard that term before? you're not backpackers, you're flash packers. So you're thought of traveling the path of a backpacker, but you've got a little bit more money in your back pocket, so you're a bit flasher.
That's us right there.
Right. I've noticed it. Sometimes, if necessary, we'll buy clothing wherever we're at. You know, if it turns cold and we're not dressed for it, we might find what do they call them, the resale?
A thrift shop.
A thrift shop.
And we always want to buy something anyway and have a souvenir. So we've gotten sweaters, boots, leather goods.
Ah, so you're not restricting yourself on souvenirs when you go away.
No, not really. No. Yeah, I have shelves in one of my guest rooms, and I always buy some little thing about that tall, a little iconic thing from whatever country it is or city it is. So I have three shelves full of stuff, and this is so nice to remember.
Yes, we have thousands of pictures.
And you're sharing them. Your story now on your blog. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your blog?
Certainly. Yeah, we decided to, I've been wanting to start a blog for a long time. Both of us have. And, we thought maybe we could probably share some of the things that we've found while we travel, while we're researching travel. And so I thought, well, a blog would be a good way to do that. And then
started in November, right, or late October, and we've written story. Larry does things on why airfares change once you start looking at them, how cookies invade your computer. And then we also wrote one on scams and security advice. Wrote one on handling adversity. That was our trip to South America, where things happen that you don't expect. So you've got to, if you're going to take a trip like that, you need to arrive 3 or 4 days ahead of time. In case something happens, you have time to handle it. Then we've written about the places that we've been. I'm writing one about Cuba right now. And we saw some great things in Cuba. And it just amazes us. Their literacy rate is so much better than the United States. Their healthcare is so much better than the United States. The World Health Organization say they could be a model for the world in some of the things that they've done, their preventative practices in Cuba. Yeah, it's fascinating.
That's amazing. I've never heard anyone say that before.
I know. And besides that, we saw them being handed out. Every man, woman, and child gets 8 eggs a week, 1 gallon of milk a week, so much flour, so many beans. So you don't see people begging anywhere, and you don't see the homelessness that you see in the States even. So they're poor, no doubt about it. They don't have a lot of things, but they have all the basics, and their health care is great, and they're highly educated. Illiteracy rate is less than 3%. This country, 19% of the people can't read beyond fifth grade.
Really? So,
yeah. And college is free in Cuba. And if you're pregnant, a doctor and a nurse visit you every month. And if you, before you're 1 year old, the doctor and the nurse visit you every week to see how you're progressing.
Wow. That's
fascinating. Yeah. Sanjay Gupta did a really good thing on CNN and explaining all the healthcare in Cuba and the lifestyle in Cuba. It was pretty fast.
Right. Before we finish up then, Larry, could you want to share some tips about airfares and airlines that you prefer?
Certainly. I noticed that when we're searching for airfares and you find what you think is a good airfare and you go searching someplace else on the internet, a different site, and you come back to the original website, and the fare has gone up. And I've mentioned that to other people, and they've noticed that also. And what the airlines do, in fact, everybody does it, they install cookies on your computer, which is perfectly legal. And when they come back, when you go back, they look at the cookie and see you've already been there and what you were looking for and say, you know, the interest level is probably good, so they raise the price. So what I usually do in that case, I try and search it where I don't leave a record. So they can put a cookie on a computer, but I can go back and there's no record of it. And so that's one way of getting around it. And another thing I found out, it's usually better to buy your airline tickets directly from the airline on their website. If you go through a third party, if there's any problems with your transportation, with your tickets or anything, everybody's pointing a finger at one another and nobody takes the blame. And you're stuck holding the bag is what happens. So we do a lot of searching. I use several different websites to do comparisons, and also typically, go, like I said, we go directly to the airline to buy our tickets. We find that works better.
And are you finding you get better deals when you plan a long time ahead as opposed to last-minute deals?
Not necessarily, but the airlines adjust their fares several times a day. And I see all kinds of articles. It's best to buy your airfare on Monday, best to buy it on Tuesday, best to buy it Saturday after midnight. And right. none of it makes any sense. And you can get better fares going, you know, way out to a year, 18 months. And of course, the price goes up as it gets closer. But if there's a surplus of empty seats, which hasn't been too much of that lately, then they're liable to have a quick sale. And there's a couple of, well, I get one email letter that comes out almost daily, has, you know, what the best deals are for the day and airfare. And it's even mistake airfare. So the airline made a mistake. Rather than charging $500, they charge $50. And so these emails alert you of that, and then you can jump on it, and sometimes you can be lucky, sometimes not.
Are you able to share some of your favorite email places that you, what do you call them? Where do you get these emails from? Are they?
One of them is Scott's Cheap Flights. Scott. And they send out at least once a day an email. That's one place. There's a few of those around. And once you get one of them, you'll get offers from the others.
Okay.
To sign up on their list. But they come out frequently. There's a free version, and of course they have a paid version, which you get the mistake airfare announcements even sooner. You know, but you've got to be ready to act as soon as you see it. You may have 30 minutes or less than an hour to react to a mistake before the airline catches on and corrects it.
I have never heard of that. So who was that through again? Was it Scott or Scotch?
Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Scott's.
Right.
Yeah, S-C-O-T-T-S, Cheap Flights.
Well, it seems like you're full of information. So if anyone wanted to follow your blog, would you like to tell us what your blog name is, please?
Yes, it's Bordens, our name, B-O-R-D-E-N-S. No, Borders.
Yeah, K-N-O-W-N-O, Borders.
.com.
Thank you very much. It's been really interesting chatting with you, and all the best with your future travels. I suppose the one thing we get that from talking with you in your 80s is that you can travel at any age. You just have to be fit. Is that right? Fit and healthy, and you can go anywhere.
That's right. Right. That's exactly right.
That's the first thing.
You have to be able to lift 20 pounds. Bag up in that barrier.
Because I imagine there's lots of walking, lots of stairs. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And don't take too much clothing.
That's right.
Right.
Right. And you really don't need to. You're not going to see the same people.
Well, that's a good tip. Don't take too much clothing. Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
Thank you. This is a lovely show.
It was a pleasure.
It's fun to meet you.
Yeah, we'll be watching your blog from now on.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.